Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Well, we're going to bring up Pastor Tahan at this point, and I'm just expecting God to share something powerful. Amen. Just love his heart. We have so much common. We have so much in common, man, when we're just talking and just little things. It's just like, man, we see how God has knit us together. Amen. So come on, Brother Tahan. This is your house right now. Amen. Just be led by the Spirit, brother.
Amen. Come on, let's give God a hand of praise. Let's give God a hand. I said God, you know. It'd be different if it was me. But we're speaking about God. Not some God, but he's your God. Not a God you heard about, but a God that's personal with you. And if he isn't personal with you, that's why we're here tonight. We serve a personal God. I hear the musician back there playing. Was it the anthem you was playing? Go ahead, give us some of that. You know, I'm one of those people, I can't sing a lot, but every preacher think they can sing. That's what I tell our church. Every preacher think they can sing. Come on, if you want to, I know you've been in worship, but I played football a lot in my life. And it's like, sometimes you got to get that gang amped up. If you want to stand and you know the song, if you want to put the words on the screen, we can sing it together.
Hallelujah. You have won the victory.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Hallelujah.
You have won it all.
And won it all for me.
Death could. Come on. You are. Come on, let those words resonate in your life. Let those words resonate in your heart.
Seated in majesty.
Come on, you are. Hallelujah. Come on, let's take it back.
Hallelujah.
The victory is already won. You don't fight for victory. You fight from a place of victory already. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, seated in majesty.
Seated in majesty.
Death couldn't. One more time. Come on, death couldn't.
Death could not hold you down.
He got up for you. He got up for me. He got up for all of us. Come on. We serve an awesome God, a matchless King. Nothing can stand before him. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you right now, Father. We thank you for being our Savior. We thank you for being our King. We thank you for being the one that sits high and looks low. We thank you for being the one that pulled us out of our sin. We thank you for looking beyond our faults and seeing our need. Holy Spirit, just continue to have your way tonight. Continue to speak through all of us today. Continue to minister to us, Lord, because you are the influencer. You are the comforter. You are the one that directs us through your word. You are the one that directs us through your teaching. You are the one that directs us through our fellowship with one another, Lord. So we thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated. Amen. As my wife put a lot out there, she said we was 18 years. The other time, I'm like, it wasn't maybe a total of 18 years. It was 8 years in California and 13 years, yes. 13 years in Arizona. I'm like, I'm not that old. But ministry is just being a part of my life. I was a drug baby. I was drugged to church. And my grandmother was a big influencer in my life because my mom suffered from crack cocaine addiction. My mom is saved, filled with the Holy Spirit, been free for 20-something years. But and God done it. She been to rehab. Rehab didn't do it. She said she was sitting in the room getting high, and she had a vision that the ceiling opened up and Jesus was coming back and she wasn't going. And at that moment, she left it alone, never to revisit it again. But it's different when sometimes you stray, you got the upbringing, you stray away, so you never do any of those things in peace. And so, like Marquis said, we've been knowing each other since about, what, 05? About 05, yeah. You know, I was a rapper at one point. I'm retired now. I got to focus on the church. And but we met through frustration. I was frustrated. I had moved from California to Arizona. It wasn't a lot of my skin in the area we moved in. So it was a little different for me because I grew up in Pasadena, California. And Pasadena is really segregated economically. And based on economics, it's Latin and black in the hood, most hoods, right? And so I get to Arizona, and I did a lot of rapping in California. I didn't know anyone, and I worked for Countrywide Mortgage. And so I was like, man, I'm finna just go buy this stuff. And I went and bought all this equipment. I'm learning how to work it, but I needed beats. So Genuine Life Productions I found. And Genuine Life Productions I found, and we started talking on the phone, and we would just talk about life. And it just continued and continued and continued. And I invited them out years back to come out to Arizona to minister to the youth because I was a youth pastor at the time. And we just always have been friends and continued the conversation. But I don't want to take up too much time. I got a limit. All right? All right. Surrender. Life of a Warrior Conference. Life of a Warrior Conference. I want to establish something before I go forth. I want you to understand something, that God has an agenda. And God's agenda, understand what I'm saying? God's agenda is not for you just to get to heaven. It's something you're supposed to do before you get to heaven. You know, a lot of times we was raised, I'm just waiting to get to heaven. I'm going up the rough side of the mountain. And it's rough. But when we say that, we say like all we're doing is sitting and waiting to get to heaven. No, God says, I put you on earth for a purpose. I established you for a purpose, and I need you to fulfill that purpose because your life is going to touch somebody else's life, and their life is going to touch somebody else's life, and you're going to be able to influence others by your life. And so when you first establish and understand that I'm not here by an accident, I don't care if you've been adopted, I don't care if you went through the foster system, I don't care what happened, I don't care if your mom was on dope, if your daddy left, that's my story, my mom was on dope, my daddy left when I was six, doesn't matter, God still has a purpose for my life. And so once you understand that God has a purpose for your life, even if you don't know him, man, someone comes and tells you this. This is why we play an important part. When someone says, you ever heard about Jesus? Do you know about him? Do you know that he died for you? He didn't die for you just for you to be saved. He died for you to be saved and go and now tell somebody else they should be saved. And so when I understand I have a purpose and God has an agenda for my life, I start putting my agenda to the side. Hence, I start to surrender. So if we return to Matthew, I've always been taught to stick to the scripture that's been provided by the hosting minister. Amen. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. I start at 24. It says, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it for a man if he gains the world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So here it is. Jesus is saying, look, in layman's terms, if you're going to follow me, you're going to put some stuff aside, pick up my agenda, and don't want to hold on to your agenda and understand I have an agenda for your life and walk that agenda out. The problem is this. Man is made of three parts. Just like Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, man is made of flesh, soul, and spirit. What does that mean? I don't want to take too much time, but this is what it means. The flesh man,
right,
can never be saved. He could just be controlled and tamed through the spirit. But you can never save this flesh. It's not going when you die, right? The spirit man, so your flesh man is built for your outer elements. If I sit down next to someone, you don't have to know someone sitting next to you, right? Your flesh could tell somebody sitting next to you in your pew. Your soul man is your self-consciousness. And your spirit man is the one that knows God and desires to be with God always, right? The problem is this. If we have our flesh man that's been running our life before we ever knew Christ, he connects with our soul man, and they are a couple. So if I was running based on my flesh desire for 20 years, and then I get saved, and now the Holy Spirit is waking in me, the Holy Spirit got a 20-year battle between my flesh and my soul. So a lot of times when we come to God and God is saying surrender, we want to surrender, and we can surrender in some areas, but it's other areas we find ourselves not surrendering in because it's been a battle going on. The battle for surrender is like turf. You know, gang wars, it's turf. The turf war is for your mind. The turf war is for your soul, man. That is what the turf war is over. Your mind, Romans chapter 12 says, renewing your mind. The spirit is saved instantly when you receive Christ. But your mind is being saved. Your mind is not saved because the trauma you had in your life, your husband left, your wife left, you got thrown in a closet and abused, you may have been molested as a child, that's trauma that your self-consciousness now knows about. So now your self-conscious, now when the spirit comes and says, surrender to me, God, you really desire to surrender because just like the scripture says, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is always willing. You want to go with God, but I'm here in this area, God. I know you love me, so I could connect with you there. But if I never known love through people in the world, it's hard for me to grasp the love of Christ and understand. So this is how you start to win the battle when it talks about surrendering. You have to starve one and feed the other. Can I get three? I can't use Marquise. I need three volunteers. I like three men because I like to kind of pull on them back and forth.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
Can I get three volunteers? Come on, Marcel. Bishop, come on, brother. All right. Who want to be the flesh? Nobody want to be the flesh? You going to be the flesh? All right. All right, you in the middle. You the soul. The spirit, man, he stayed on the outside on the purpose, right? So the flesh, man, only desires his own pleasure. And if this is all you know, if you grew up in a house that was carnal, all about get the money. Get your own pleasure. Get your own desire. This guy here feels good about that. Come on, y'all lock up. Lock your arms together. This guy here says, yeah, I like this life. Friday night, just got paid. We're going to hit the strip. We're going to go out. We're going to do all those things because it makes him feel good. And my self-consciousness makes me feel better, especially if I've been put down in school, especially if I've been put down in my household, especially if these things are happening, these traumas that I have that we do not address a lot of times in church. We act like it's not there, say everything's okay. But God knows everything's not okay. That's why the man of God comes and say, can I pray for you? And then you're like, you can, but and you're not being honest about it. But the Spirit is leading him to pray that you can be free from these wounds. So now, when it's time for you to surrender, it's hard to surrender because y'all been running together 32 years. 32 years y'all been running together, doing your own thing. Now, that agent that God has put in the earth now comes and witnesses to you because you know even through the 32 years you was running, it didn't feel good. It was always some trauma. It was like when the trauma starts to come up in your mind, you want to get high and get rid of it. Or when the trauma comes in your mind, you want to get drunk or get rid of it. You want to try to bring some lust in and get rid of it. So you try to, you know that's not there. So now when a woman, a guy comes, a witness and says, do you know that Jesus loves you? Have you ever accepted him for your life? These things that you're going through, you don't have to go through. Now he can't feel that, but he feels that because all he really wants is healing. So now the looseness comes and he steps over here. This guy has been here but been dormant but hasn't been awakened by the Holy Spirit. So now when that person comes and lays hands and prays for this person, he says, you need to get into a church. You need to be taught. You need to learn the scriptures. Get into the word. It's going to be your lifeline. It's going to be the thing that's a heartbeat. It has veins. It has blood. It has everything in it, right? So now this man now comes and says, look, let's get connected. You feel like you want to connect with this man. But now he says, oh, the girls, you got to let him go. Oh, so now that loose, it gets a little loose. Okay, they're getting high. You got to let it go. Now you start saying, maybe I want to come back over here. The flesh man crying out to come get that back. The only way that you can end this is you have to starve this man and feed this man. So now when you starve this man and you say, you know what? I'm going to go to that Bible study. I don't even know what these words mean, but I pray to the Holy Spirit to give me revelation or send me someone that can help me understand these words. Send me a church that I could get involved in that now I can understand what's going on. Send me someone that can sit with me and disciple me that I can understand what's going on. Now you get stronger. So when he starts tapping on your shoulder, you can push him away. You can say, nah. Right? Well, this is what happens. If that's just how it happens. You can sit in church. The worship could go high. You could be crying and really mean it because the Spirit always wants to serve God. So the lifting of the hands is not even fake. It's really real. You lift your hands up and you're crying and you're like, God, I just want to change my life. But by the time you hit the door to the street, he does this. Now you're in a battle. And it's a tug of war going forth. And somebody's got to win the tug of war. It's a battle for your turf. So when Jesus says, put down your cross, put this down, and follow me, God says, this is going to be a battle that you're going to be in. But guess what? Over time, it gets easier. In the beginning, you're going to think you're not going to be able to survive. Friends are going to walk away. Family will walk away. All these things will walk away. But guess what? When you get close with God in the Spirit, you start to gain more family. And you start to gain more friends. I'll never forget when I first got saved. I remember standing up at testimony time crying and saying, nobody doing this. Not my age. Like, nobody's, we the youngest people in the church. And then my uncle said, go and read Elijah. He said, I got 7,000 more just like you. And but who was doing that crying? Who was saying that? This self-conscious man was thinking about the times we ran together with the friends, and now I'm over here and it seems lonely. And now I started thinking about that, but it took someone to say, no, go read. No, read about this. So now when I read it, I get empowered and I understand I'm not in this alone. It's many more that's just like me. It's many more that's doing the same thing. I encourage you to starve this man here, recognize the wound of this man and allow this man to heal the wounds because the Holy Spirit, listen, we call on the name of Jesus because it's a matchless name. And at the name of Jesus, demons must flee. We call on the name of Jesus because we know it's power in the name of Jesus, right? We pray to him because we know that we're calling upon him to petition him to move on our behalf. But Jesus is at the right hand of the throne of God. Understand that. So we are calling on his name. But what initiates the power in his name is the Spirit inside of you. And the Spirit inside of you now awakens because the belief in the name, the belief in the power, the belief in the resurrection becomes more empowered when you stay in his word. When you stay in his word, it starts to come alive. You stay in his word. You used to say, man, I can't. Remember when you tried to read, you used to fall asleep? Be like, oh, trying to read this Bible make me fall asleep. Well, stay at it. Stay at it because the one trying to make you fall asleep is him. But if he said, let's put on some of the movies that you shouldn't be watching, you'll be wide awake. Right? Let's do something, you'll be wide awake. But when it's time to feed this man, it gets difficult. But as you put time in and more time in, it gets easier and easier and easier. The thing about this, this man is like a Michael Jackson Thriller video. He never dies all the way. If you blow life into him, he can ruin all the time you spent. I could leave here tonight and ruin my whole life if I go back to what he would do. Everything that I built, I could tarnish it. By one moment, breathing life back in him, he comes back alive and he behind you like dun-dun-dun. He behind you because he's waiting for every moment to blow life. And how does he do this? What does he do? He reminds the self-conscious man of pains, regrets, letdowns, and frustrations. He said, you've been praying, right? So I've not mentioned nothing about the devil, right? I have not mentioned, because the devil knows this is a tool, and all he does this. This kicks in here. So sometimes the devil will say, I ain't got to do nothing. Watch him ruin his own self. By the damage I caused a long time ago into this man. Watch her ruin her own self by the damage I caused, and let's give him something to remind it. So you could be walking for a long time, been going to church 2 years, and now you hear a story, be like, what happened to him? Well, they went back out there. Why? Because this man was laying in the dark. This one's getting reminded. But you have to feed this man. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about that God will sanctify all of you, the body, the soul, and the flesh, that he will make it come to completeness. And the only way he's going to be able to do that is if you allow him to make it come to a completeness. You got to feed him through fellowship. You got to feed him through the word. You got to feed him through praise. You got to starve him. You got to starve him from those desires that's going to pull you away, because now it's for the mind. You wonder, in my whole lifetime, I've never heard so many cases of anxiety. I never heard so many cases of depression. I never heard of so much, because it's a spirit that's running rapid that's tormenting this man. That's tormenting this man, because you got people in churches that's been molested, and they be like, I came to the church and I thought I was going to be safe. And now they'll reflect on the church and not reflect on Jesus and see that that person that done that needs just much help as everybody else, right? So this anxiety that's coming, you know how expensive peace is? You got people spending for medication. You got people going to psychiatrists. They're spending all this money when God says, I will give you perfect peace. So here it is. You could go sit on the psychiatrist's table, but the psychiatrist that you should go to is the one that say, you need to get into the word. Let's pray together. Let's talk about all that thing that's bothering you. Now, let's submit that to God. Guess what? God is giving you perfect peace. You can get peace through the word. You can get peace through the fellowship. You can get peace through worship. You can get peace by just giving Jesus the time that he required of him, because you have been set here to be an agent in this world. You have been set here to cause change. A lot of times we don't want to get into the marketplace, but we need Christians in the marketplace. We need them in the government. We need them on the police force. We need them on our local government. We need them in our schools. We come here. This is the football practice field. The stuff we're talking about now is in the playbook. So now when you step out there, it's time to run the plays. But if we keep practicing and never run no plays, God's agenda has not been fulfilled. Thank you, guys. So, I ain't looking at none of this. I said all that. I know my time is up. I'm good. but that's my point. My point is, just like Romans chapter 7, when Paul says, the things I desire, I find myself wanting to do, I find myself not doing. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me from this, right? That wretched man is that soul man that's remembering. That wretched man is that soul man that's battling. That wretched man, really, the one that's really making decisions is either the spirit or the flesh, and the soul man is more caught in the middle. Because the one that's stronger is the one he's going to go with. If I listen to music, that's going to feed my flesh and give me ideas. If I watch movies, that's going to feed my flesh and give me ideas, that's going to keep me going in the flesh direction, but only come to church on Sunday. I had a guy at my other church. He had put together like the numbers. He was like, we go to church. I forgot how many. He's like, pretty much you in church maybe a total of 2 hours on a Sunday. 2 hours on a Sunday. I didn't get no rag. Two hours on a Sunday. And maybe an hour and a half on a Wednesday or something like that. But then you go to work and you're there 8 hours every day. You think that little amount of time you give God just by coming to church and coming to Bible study is enough to beat that man, to beat that flesh man. No. When you leave here, you got to get that personal time. You got to get devotion time. You got to get time with God alone. You got to go in your prayer closet. Sometimes you may not know nothing to say, but you just got to say, help me, God. Help me, God. I need your help. And God hears the heart when he knows you need his help. God hears the heart when he knows you're struggling. God hears the heart, but you got to surrender. You got to give him that cross. He says, don't try to hold on to the thing that makes you feel good. I don't work in the feel good. I work in the uncomfortable. You think these men and women of God doing what they do was comfortable in the beginning? I received a word from my pastor that I was with for 13 years. I wasn't even there long before he asked me to go with him to the hospital. And he was talking to me, and I said, who wants this? Who wants to do this? I'm doing it because I know God asked me to do it, but it's not exciting. I don't, you know, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of pain. It's a lot of frustration. Who wants this? And at this time, I was like a 28-year-old young man. He said, I understand what you're saying, but you'll grow to love it. And I sit here now, and I grow to love it. Because I wait, and I wait to see the change God has in people's life. But at that moment, I was battling for a total surrender. At that moment, right now, you're battling for a total surrender. God says, if you desire, if you lose your life, you will gain life. We're serving a king that has an upside-down kingdom. All the stuff the world says, that's how you advance. God says just the opposite. That's how you advance. So this is where that surrender goes in your mind. It's like, it don't make sense. In school, they told me I got to do this. But now I come to church, they tell me I got to do this. It don't make sense. In the world, they say I should do this. But now I come to church and they should do this. He tells me if somebody hit me, don't hit them back. But when I go home, my mom said, you better get them back. I'm confused. Adults, for us that's served with you for many years, they watch us. And one of the hardest challenges was speaking to youth was, well, my parents, they come, but they don't do all the stuff they say. And my only comeback was like, we all here trying to work it out. And we all here trying to work it out. We're all here looking to serve God, but he is the most vital, important vessel in our lives. Without him, I'm nothing. Without him, I don't exist. I could walk this world and we could be like zombies without him. But now he's awakened and he wants to awaken the spirit inside of you. He wants to give you your identity because everyone in here has something, a word called potential. But potential untapped goes to the graveyard. You have potential to be who you've been called to be. You have potential to be who God has told you, but you got to surrender and not want to hold on to your identity, but take up the identity that he has for you. Pray for me as I pray for you. Amen.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.